So friends, not everyone has what you may call an extraordinary gift with the souls in purgatory, but some people have just regular encounters or these things that happen, such as our friend here, Christopher, that is here to share it. Many of you maybe have had these types of experiences, but he's here to share with us what happened and the way that it changed his life.
Around about this time last year, I had this unexpected visit from a soul from purgatory that shook me to the core, freaked me out in a holy way, holy shock, because it was almost like the only way I could describe it was the visitation. I was asleep at the time. And just for some context, I was going through a pretty deep, dark night in my soul for a couple of 3 months prior to this, some deep deliverance and healing. And I was praying through Father Rupert's book daily. And I was at a point where I was really crying out to God, like on my knees, begging God for help, just because I was going through something very deep and just needed God's help. I put this experience possibly down to an answer to that prayer as well, because I kept praying in my spirit, this prayer that kept coming up out of my spirit, and it was, Lord, merit me some kind of favor. Please, I beg you, merit me some kind of grace, some kind of favor, anything, help. And this kind of went on daily for week, 2 weeks, and it was quite intense and very deep, but stressful and painful. And one night I went to sleep, and I actually was quite tired, so I went to sleep in the spare room. It's just me and my wife, Leanne. So I went to sleep in the spare room. And when it happened, I checked the time and it was 6 o'clock in the morning. So here's what happened. I was fast asleep, 6 o'clock in the morning. I was woken with a tap, two pokes, quite hard on my hand to wake me up. And I felt it, that the soul did it hard enough, but not too hard, but hard enough, knowing that this soul has to wake me up. And it was almost like this soul was given this grace from God. And within it was a grace for me that's been ongoing equally as much for this soul. So the only way I can describe it was this soul came kind of swooping into the room, like almost kind of flying, and swooped down like this and poked me in the hands, because I felt it. And as I woke up, I saw the soul kind of had come down like that and kind of gone up and was kind of just before me. Well, I woke up gasping for air, like in shock, like not understanding what's going on, thinking it was demonic.
Yeah.
And then realizing, no, this is a soul. I can see a soul, like a person. And I thought I recognized her. It was a woman. She was elderly and she was ill. I knew that, because this is just what I could see and feel. And she had clothes were just kind of I could only describe rags, strands of cloth, clothing. I saw the face vaguely, like an outline, saw the face, and I thought immediately, I recognize you, I know you. But before the moment I could just say, I know, yeah, it's you, she'd faded and gone. Well, I scrambled and came to, grabbed my rosary beads, just started praying, because I didn't know what had really happened or what was going on. And I just began to pray and then kind of calmed down and checked the time. And that was it. I kind of spent then the next few days just reflecting on what had happened and why it had happened. And then I think that experience led me to your channel, because I'm that's a soul from purgatory. I don't really know much about purgatory. I need to find out about purgatory now, because that was a soul from purgatory. And then on reflection, before all that,
were you able later to think of who it was? It was maybe someone you knew recently in your life.
Yeah. I began going through my mind, who could this be? It was interesting because the poke, it almost felt like square, like it was a stick. Now, I don't know if it was, but I recognized the face vaguely, and she was elderly and she was ill. And I'm almost convinced it was my mother-in-law. I shared it with my wife. She didn't really know what to make of it. She's a devout Christian. She's not a Catholic.
Yeah.
So these things are quite abstract to her.
Yeah.
But she's on her journey, and she was quite open. It was just on reflection. So I'm convinced that it was my mother-in-law. And I'll tell you why, because I thought, right, I've got to have masses said for this soul. I'm going to go to mass. And the following Sunday, must have been a few days later, I think, you know, I was constantly praying for this soul. And I'd come to the conclusion, my mother-in-law, she was ill when she died. She was elderly. I recognized especially the nose. And I'm convinced it was her. And she had faith. I don't know how deep, or she didn't go to church, but she did have faith. And I think she did go to church in the past. I don't really know loads about that. But I'm convinced it was my mother-in-law. And so I shared this with my wife. She was kind of like, you know, yeah, maybe, who knows? But I said, well, I'm just going to pray anyway, you know. So I went to mass the following Sunday, the first time I'd gone to mass after the experience. I said to my wife, I'm going to mass, and I'll be back, you know, about 11 o'clock or something. So I went to mass. And during the consecration, I just really, really interceded and prayed for and just surrendered her soul to the Lord during the consecration. And all my prayers were devoted for her in the mass, and the mass was offering for her. And that was it, you know, like you can only just hope and pray that your prayers are being heard, the soul's being touched. Because she was ill, man. And what I learned from your channel, and I began reading, that I think she was in the lower parts of purgatory because it was dark and grey and she was ill. She was old and they were like grave clothes. She must have been desperate. So I went home after mass. And I got in. My wife was just kind of getting up out of bed. She said, I've had a vision while you were at mass. And I said, really? She said, yeah. She just said, totally out of the blue, I'm lying in bed and I experienced this vision. And I saw my mom being born into heaven. And I was like, really? Okay.
And is your wife...
That's pretty, man.
Is she the type of person who would just come out and say these things, or, you know, were you, or is this just very unusual for her?
She's a devout Christian. She's got a relationship with God. She's filled with the Spirit. These kind of things don't happen too often, very rarely. She might get a word from God about things and discernment, but she's never really shared something like this.
Yeah.
She said, I had a vision of my mom being born into heaven. She was full of joy. And I said, okay, was that while I was at mass? She said, yeah. I said, what time? She told me the exact time. I said, that was around, when I calculated it, that was right about around the consecration at the Eucharist.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That's incredible. I mean, obviously it's one thing for you to have that experience, but then sometimes the Lord will confirm these things in other people and the things other people say and things that we
hear.
But then even in your own wife, the day that you are going to mass for her soul, I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah. So, you know, there's always that element of, was it, did it, is it?
Yeah.
just pray for the soul. Just keep praying for. But Alvaro, prior to this, if I can share, and then perhaps, you know, you can ask me about how has it affected me and the fruits that have come from this. There was another experience with my mother-in-law a year before that me and my wife had experienced as well. And I'm thinking, You know, I've heard you talk about souls, the faithful departed. They can reach out to us and in ways that we can connect and understand, and without looking for them. She was reaching out as well about a year before this, because I was upstairs in the lounge. My wife was in the kitchen. It was in the evening, and I was just sitting down there, you know, reflecting, pondering. It's a nice sunny evening, summer evening. My wife's in the kitchen. I'm just sitting there. It's really quiet, you know, pondering and reflecting. And all of a sudden, I went into this involuntary experience, like, and tears just started coming down my eyes. And I'm not even feeling emotional or upset or sad. And I'm thinking, somebody's crying. Whose are these tears? These tears, they're not my tears. And they're coming down my face. And then this kind of experience, after a minute or two, you know, it just kind of faded out. And I kind of came round and realized, whoa, I just had some kind of experience with the gift of tears, because those tears weren't mine. Somebody's crying. And I'm wiping my eyes. And as I'm wiping my eyes, my wife walks in and she thought I was genuinely upset. And she says, "Are you all right, love?" And I said, "Yeah, yeah." And I didn't say anything. And she said to me immediately, she said, "I've just had a really, really strange experience in the kitchen." And I said, "What? Really? What happened?" She says, "I saw my mom in a vision, like I was there in the kitchen with her. And I just began crying and weeping."
Wow.
And I was like, whoa, okay. I didn't say anything because I was still literally seconds away from it happening and just processing what had happened.
Yeah.
And so a couple of 3 days later, I kind of like plucked up the courage to tell my wife what had happened as well. Yeah. And she was pretty blown away. And funny enough, there's this postcard, right? It's called The Tears of Christ.
Uh-huh.
It was given to us a few months before, and I had it in the apartment on the wall, yeah, as well. And I'm sure that this postcard and this icon was connected with that experience, because I kept thinking, who were these tears? They were my tears. Were they Doreen's, Leanne's mom? Were they my wife's tears? Were they Christ's tears? And I think the answer is, on reflection, they were all of our tears. And that my wife was still grieving her mom. The tears were, I think, hers. I think they were the Lord's. I think it was a soul crying out,
yeah,
for prayers. And so then this experience the following year with her coming happened, yeah. So I think those experiences are connected.
It's incredible to think that in both instances, the Lord was using both of you at the same time, but in different ways, and maybe at slightly different times. I know not everyone has that gift of having a spouse that has a faith at the same place, but if that's possible, that's how he uses us. He respects that one flesh union. You know, he works through both of you, which is beautiful.
Yeah. So
how has your life changed after all this, you know, with these experiences? What have been some of the fruits that you've seen?
Exactly. So, like I said, I can't, you know, I always think about this experience. It's kind of like, it's kind of present to me all the time. And I think, you know, it was definitely a grace for my soul and my salvation, myself, as much as it was for this soul. And so, you know, I wouldn't say that I didn't believe in purgatory. I just didn't really know much about it. And I just kept thinking, well, I'm not going to purgatory. I'm going straight to heaven. You know, I'm just going to heaven. I just believe I'm going to heaven. But I mean, the grace is that, well, you can't be 100% certain on that.
Yeah.
And that purgatory is a real place of sanctification and purification, and it's real and probably going to be there you know, and I'm like, well, I definitely do not want to be what I, where that soul that I saw, wherever that soul came from, I absolutely definitely do not want to be there. No way. Yeah. If it's purgatory, then I want to be somewhere closer to heaven.
Yeah.
So I'd say one grace is like the fear of the Lord, to take the sacramental life that God has left us seriously. And, you know, in our struggles and in our weaknesses, to really kind of make that conscious effort to, you know, I'm going to take this seriously and try and live, you know, the best Christian life with the Lord that I can live, and yeah, to be connected to the Lord in the sacraments as much as possible, and take the teaching of the church's authority on what the catechism says. That's it. That's the church's declaration of the holy truth that she's been given for us. It's there, and purgatory is real. So, and it's I think another grace. Go on. Yeah.
It's just a beautiful thing, just a reality that I keep thinking about those words you were saying, that it was as much a grace for you as it was for her. And that sometimes we don't realize, we think we can maybe have that idea. And yes, we're coming in helping these people or these souls, but we can think, you know, I'm coming in as a savior. But sometimes it's as, maybe we're being more helped by helping than by than the other, you know, because we're becoming less selfish, we're caring about someone else.
It's as much of a grace for me and my wife as it was for that soul equally. And I think another grace is, it's the scriptures open up about purgatory. I feel more close to the Lord, and there's definitely kind of areas of weakness that have kind of faded and gone out, and I'm close to the Lord in that sense, and that I kind of realize my time is a gift that I have to be as close to the Lord as I can, and to attain that level of holiness that God has predestined and planned for you. That my prayer is, Lord, please don't let me miss the mark of what you ordained for me, in whatever shape, way, or form I can. You know, so
beautiful, Christopher. I really hope this can, I know it'll connect with other people who've had similar, in a variety of different ways, experiences, maybe for them to take it seriously, to not, because maybe there's some that do, but then maybe there's others that have had these encounters or even just little promptings, and they think, oh no, that's nothing, that's just my imagination, when really God is trying to reach through, but he's respecting our freedom. And we simply have to say, okay, let me take this leap and pray for this person. We can never go wrong in praying.
Exactly. So it's given me obviously a devotion now for the souls in purgatory. And, you know, it's like, I think one scripture comes strongly to me about, you know, when I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was thirsty, did you give me a drink? When I was in prison, did you visit me? This to me also is an image of the souls in purgatory. You know, hungry and thirsty for God, in, you know, kind of imprisoned in a way, you know, waiting for their release. It's like, you can be a missionary to the souls in purgatory. As well.
She's
great.
It's an incredible thing. I'm sure and the one benefit is, you know, when you're a missionary to some countries, they might cut your head off, but the souls in purgatory take you, you know, they are thankful for your message of release, you know, that they want you to come to them.
Yeah. So now I guess, you know, it's like an element of, you know, it's just faith, believing that God's answering my prayers, that my prayers are reaching heaven and souls are being touched. And just believing that, because I've experienced it for real.
Yeah,
it's real, you know.
And I hope this grace now that was for her, for you, but now for other people, that those that maybe don't believe to believe, and those that believe to believe to be reaffirmed and to grow stronger in that.
Yeah, and I think that's why I was really keen to share this experience. It's been about a year with you and to your viewers, because I'm a painter and decorator by trade. You know, I'm a music therapist by trade. I'm just a normal everyday guy. You know, tradesman, working class, just living my life as best as I can. And I'm not a mystical saint. You know, people have written about me. it's for the call is for all of us. You know, whoever we are, wherever we are, wherever we're at, whatever walk and journey or occupation in life we find ourselves, the call is the same for all of us. And it's the most, that's another thing, yet the most important thing in my life now. It's put everything in perspective. It's not about what I do, what I become in terms of careers and money. The most important thing in your life is how sanctified your soul is going to be when you die in that state of grace. Whatever I'm doing now, it's kind of, that's the focus. You know, is this going to glorify God? Is he going to sanctify my soul? You know, and I think that perspective on life, that's the main thing, is, I don't know, a huge kind of paradigm shift.
Yeah,
in your mind and the way you perceive and begin to live your life from that perspective, that it's the soul, it's the most important thing.
Beautiful, Christopher. I think this is just a beautiful thing for us to hear, especially in Lent. How about we, why don't we close in a prayer to pray for all those listening, and especially for all the souls in purgatory. We can pray to our Blessed Mother as we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace.
Full of grace.
The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary.
Holy Mary, Mother
of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, thank you to all who joined and listened. God bless you, and I'll see you in the next one.
Thank you. God bless you all. Thank you, Elvira.